the Entertainment Docket for the week of March 3rd. I am your co-host, John Travolta, and alongside me is the lovely and talented Adele Menzine.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Wow.
I shall not sing, you know, biggest hit song of the year.
Jeez. And I think it threw her, because when she started singing, she seemed a little bit off. I mean, she got it together, but...
Do you think she was really listening to him, or do you think it's... I don't know.
Just
she
the nerves?
She's in front of big audiences.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know.
But anyways. Not the Academy Awards.
Yes, the Oscars. Whatever. This year. It was a very strange experience. Very, very strange indeed.
There were no massive surprises.
Nope. Well, I think Kate Blanchett was probably the biggest surprise of the night.
No, that was not a surprise.
Well, I mean...
The entire Twitter feed was like, before it was even announced, and now here's Kate Blanchett's award.
Oh, all right.
So, there was no big... I mean... Sandy might have taken it. I don't know. That would have been a surprise. Sandy Bullock had, like, yeah. Sandy, like, I'm best friends with her. But anyhow, she had taken it. So no massive surprises in the winners. Nobody went completely crazy. No. There was no good, like, Aladdin or Elizabeth Taylor moment or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Ellen was, I don't know. It didn't seem like she was off or anything. It just, stuff wasn't working.
It was boring that as was shit.
The set was crazy and boring at the same time.
Yeah.
There were like big blow up Oscar-y things, and then all of a sudden there were candles, and all of a sudden there were massive roses, and then they were gone, and then it was just confusing.
I don't know. I got into the second hour, and I'm like, good Lord, there is nothing happening here. I mean, the most interesting thing is Ellen orders pizza and shares it with people. You know you've got a problem.
Most people hated that. Like, that joke went on too long. The setup went on too long, but once, like, they had the pizza and she was passing out, I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah. Well, and then what was it? The selfie picture that she took wound up breaking Twitter.
Literally, she ruined Twitter.
Yeah.
She broke Twitter. Because she took a selfie with, started out with Meryl Streep, and then Jennifer Lawrence was in it, Brad and Angie were in it, Bradley Cooper was in it. He actually took it.
Jared Leto
had it. Kevin Spacey was in the back, right? Yeah. Anyhow, so she went down, right, front row of the audience and grabbed a bunch of celebrities behind her. And then Bradley, like, reached out and took a selfie and she posted it to Twitter. And it literally broke Twitter. I'm tweeting the awards and I'm like, motherfucker, I can't get on Twitter.
Yeah, it all slowed down.
And as of, like, the end of the show, it had been retweeted, like, a million times.
Wow.
Literally. And that was her joke. Like, let's make history kind of thing and be the most retweeted. And it is.
And it just speaks to the social media world. I mean, I didn't look at the stats in terms of the number of tweets that were made per minute for the Oscars, but I mean, when we first started doing this, there was very few people who were live tweeting events like this. Now everybody and their brother does it.
It was comedians, but now everybody, whatever that genre, every entertainment site.
Yep.
It was like live tweeting.
Well, and every, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry across the country as well.
Right. So.
So. Yeah.
I don't know. Boring.
Yeah.
Boring show. Yeah. And I don't want to blame Ellen because I don't think she did anything wrong.
You can never really blame the host because it's the producers who decide to run all these ridiculous fucking clip montages that mean nothing.
Oh, so one of the montages, we're towards the end of it and I'm sitting there and I look at my boyfriend and I'm like, wait, what is this one for again?
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know, something about movies. By the end of the montage, I've forgotten what the subject was supposed to be.
It's so dumb. And they never learn. They never. And then here's the other thing that always bothers me is when they wheel out celebrities who are very close to death. I love Sidney Poitier. I mean, really do.
Oh, he did not look well.
But watching him kind of shuffle his way out there was very uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's you want to pay respect, but is that really respectful?
No,
I don't know.
I don't think so. Kim Novak, I don't know what the hell was going on there.
That was out of left field, wasn't it?
Yeah, and she could hardly talk. I mean, it sounded like it was like, oh, hello.
Yeah.
And then she threw everybody because they announced the animated feature and she's like, are you ready for this? And I'm like, oh, no, it's going to be some massive surprise. And then, of course, Frozen won.
There were no huge surprises. No. Frozen one. So, 12 Years a Slave. Spoilers! 12 Years a Slave. Yeah. One Best Picture. Alfonso Cuarón, one Best Director. Yeah. McConaughey, one Actor. Blanchett, one Actress.
Jared Leto, one Supporting.
one, and I didn't prep.
What?
Lupita, what's her name?
Oh, Lupita.
What's her last name, though?
I don't know.
What, from 12 Years a Slave, she won Best Supporting Actress, and she gave beautiful, beautiful speeches. Speeches were really nice.
Yeah, there were some. I mean, Jared Leto did a nice speech about his mom.
Jared Leto did. McConaughey's was really nice, too. Hers was beautiful. There's
the Lopez's,
some really...
the Lopez's, who won for Best Song, did a beautiful, well-prepared speech about their family and friends and Disney. And
yeah, so that was nice. Okay, the big shocker of the night was... Jennifer Lawrence didn't fall on stage. She fell on the red carpet beforehand. That was the big shocker. Which was great because she gave something for Ellen for opening monologue.
Yeah. Well, and that was it. There was no major, you know, opening show number. I think the biggest production number was Pharrell Williams.
Yeah.
And then, you
which
know,
was
the
songs
other,
from Despicable Me 2, his song Happy. They really, that those were the best parts. Like it was... Let's pretend it's the Grammys or the Tonys.
Yeah.
And get some really great singers to perform their songs.
Yeah. Pink did a nice job with the Wizard of Oz thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was slightly random too, but...
Well, it's the 75th anniversary of Wizard of Oz.
Right, but like Pink and I don't know.
Yeah.
You have Lorna Luft and Liza Minnelli sitting there.
Oh, God.
Listening to Pink perform their mother's hit song.
Yeah, that was uncomfortable too. Let's make the Who kids of Judy Garland stand and...
Why aren't they singing it? Yeah. Anyhow.
Yeah, Liza looked like she was having some problems herself.
Yeah.
It's just, all right, so this caps the end of award season, which will begin, I think, next month again, the next cycle. But it just goes to show that there is no reason for this type of stuff. They've outlived their usefulness, if they ever had any usefulness.
Or make fun of it for 3.5 hours. Yeah. That's usefulness.
I don't know. It's you know, we know this, and they know this. It's all very self-congratulatory. Wow. You know, the president of AMPAS, the American Motion Picture, or the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, they're building a museum to themselves in L.A. I don't know where. I couldn't figure out from the sketch where they were actually planning to put this.
Well, one of the biggest things were there were tech people, special effect people were protesting.
Yep.
Beforehand, as they should be, because they get screwed over in this industry. Ugh. Like last year, you know, big winning company for effects had just gone bankrupt.
Yeah, Rhythm and Hughes.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to continue happening because they're outsourcing everything. The other thing was Julie Delpy. I don't know if she released a statement or somebody asked her, and she's talked about how it's old white men who need money. That's who's deciding this.
Well, and the Academy
is for award, but for writing.
Yes, she was.
But she was like, whatever, I don't care.
Now, the Academy is different than other guilds, like the Screen Actors Guild, all of the membership votes.
Exactly.
In this, you have, the Academy has their Board of Governors, but then they have a very select group of people who vote for each one of the individual categories. So it's, and then there's all this bribery, and they don't call it bribery, they call it promotion, and... You know, we talked about Bruce Broughton, who was the composer who was nominated for Best Song that got booted because he was on the Board of Governors and went out and promoted it. And they said, well, you can't do that because you're using your unfair advantage. And he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. The whole thing is about unfair advantage.
Now, the one thing my brother pointed out to me yesterday, he's like, it looks like it's a much more diverse group in terms of racial and gender and stuff like this. And I think the one thing the Academy is pushing towards is that they are a global organization because, specifically, Hollywood movies these days are making more money overseas than they're making at home.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's I forget what the word is. You cannot argue that point. Frozen just crossed the 1 billion mark worldwide, even though it has not made yet 400 million here.
Be more overseas than domestically.
And they are, and I credit them because they are channeling some of that money into foreign markets to try and develop filmmaking programs and giving people a voice around the world to have their films made and seen. So I do credit them for that, but I think it's also very self-serving in terms of they're trying to grow their own market. So, I don't know. In any case, box office this past weekend.
Okay, you guys, went to the movies instead of watching the awards about them.
Yeah.
Nonstop, $30
million. Taken on a plane.
Yes. Son of God, 26.5. And Lego Movie, 21.
So
we don't have that huge drop that we have been having. Well, then we have it after the third. The Monuments Men, $5
million. Yeah.
And 3 Days to Kill, just under $5
million. Yeah. So Liam Neeson is better than Jesus, is what you're saying.
I did not say that.
He's bigger than Jesus.
The box office numbers said it. Don't put that on me. I don't need no emails coming at me calling me heathen.
Next week, we've got three movies of note. 300, Rise of an Empire, which is a sequel that no one was clamoring for.
No.
Grand Budapest Hotel, which is the latest Wes Anderson cinematic gem. And the amazing thing is he did the entire thing in animation before shooting a single frame of principal photography. And I can only hope that Criterion, when they do their release, will include that film for us to see.
Yeah, they've got it.
Yeah. And then we've got another family animated movie, which seems like we've got now once a month. It used to be certain time of year we would get this.
Right.
You know, summer and winter. But now they've gotten smart because these things make money. So Mr. Peabody and Sherman, which is the big screen version of the old TV series, which was part of Rocky and Bullwinkle. And Ty Burrell is doing the voice of Mr. Peabody.
Yeah, this is finally out. It feels like it should have been out like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
With all the promotion they're doing. Hey.
If you're not going to the box office this week, coming to DVD and Blu-ray, movies that you may have not have seen but have gotten great award consideration, 12 Years a Slave is out this week. Hunger Games Catching Fire, which Jennifer Lawrence was not nominated for.
Oh, really?
Doctor Who, The Time of the Doctor, which is Matt Smith's final episode, the Christmas episode from this past year. Venture Brothers Season 5. Which is, I saw it when it was broadcast. It was genius, but way too short. I think there's only five or eight episodes. And then Hours, which is Paul Walker's final film, which is supposed to be phenomenal as well.
Yeah. Boy, it's a depressing week.
Yeah. At Redbox this week, other nominated films, Nebraska with Bruce Dern, Captain Phillips with Tom Hanks, Blue Jasmine with Cate Blanchett, and Thor the Dark World. And at Netflix, it's the first of the month, so we've got some big things coming. Dr. Strangelove, Wolfgang Peterson's recut of Das Boot, Philip Seymour Hoffman in Capote, Men in Black 2.
That is an amazing movie.
What, Capote?
It's an amazing story. Performance is beyond. And the book in Cold Blood is one of the best things I've ever read.
Yeah.
And to get the backstory, like how he wrote it and stuff, it's just so great. It's a great movie.
All right.
Okay. Go ahead.
And if you're planning to watch Resurrection, which ABC was heavily promoting last night, the original French series on which it was based, The Returned, is available on DVD this week.
Oh, neat.
Yep. Over at Hulu, again, weird stuff, but whatever. It's where you go for weird stuff. Meatballs with Bill Murray. Meatballs and Meatballs 2.
Nice!
Tom Hanks and Jackie Gleason in the funny but touching Nothing in Common. The family adventure Milo and Otis, about a talking cat and a talking dog. And then the classic talking animal film Babe, That'll Do Pig, is available on Hulu this week. And that's all I've got for streaming media and physical.
Okay. Well, TV this week. On Monday, it's the finale of Almost Human. Didn't that just start like a month ago?
Oh, I'm not keeping track. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyhow, also Monday, new season of Bates Motel on A&E. And a new show called Those Who Kill. It's a cop show, and it stars Chloe Svengoolie. What's her name?
Oh, Chloe Sevigny.
Thank you.
Yep. Svengoolie.
All right. Tuesday, new season of The Game on BET. And Wednesday, new season of Restaurant Impossible on Food Network. Uh-huh. Thursday, another new show, Sirens. It's like a cop show on USA. Saturday this week, Dateline Saturday Night Mystery.
What?
It's like another version of Dateline, but they give it a new title, whatever. Anyhow, Saturday Night NBC. But Lifetime, usually I make fun of the Lifetime, right? Yeah. Yeah. No, The Trip to Bountiful.
Ooh.
With the, like, Broadway cast, Cicely Tyson, Blair Underwood. Yeah. Nice.
And we're doing that up at Hackmatack. Not me personally, but the show is being done this summer out here in New Hampshire.
Yeah, but nothing's going to beat this cast.
No.
Lifetime recording of it. Okay. Yeah, Sunday, Resurrection on ABC, just in case you didn't know. Mm-hmm. Yeeks. But an old show is returning, and it's kind of crazy. So the old show, PBS show Cosmos, Carl Sagan's show. Right, it's back. It's not Carl Sagan. It's Neil Tyson, who really famous, great on Twitter and whatever. Anyhow, so he's hosting it. It's like produced by Seth MacFarlane.
Oh, I did hear about this. Yeah.
On Fox, and I guess they went lots of places, but Fox gave them the most money so they can make it look the best. Anyhow, Sunday night, Cosmos is back, but True Detective is ending on HBO.
Oh, and Matthew McConaughey said he's not coming back.
Everybody I know is like gaga over this thing.
Really?
I don't have cable, so I gotta wait for it to come streaming or DVD.
All right.
But it's supposed to be like the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
All right. This week in music, speaking of Pharrell Williams at all the award shows, I don't know if it's girl or G-I-R-L.
Whatever. Oh, yeah. It's, I think it's G-R-L.
So, whatever. Anyhow, that's out. New Pharrell Williams this week. Let's say that. New Drive-By Truckers have a new one called English Oceans. And then Leah Michelle from Glee.
Oh.
An album of original songs. It's not Glee stuff. It's her own thing. It's called Louder.
Okay.
And the big thing is there's a song she wrote about the last time she spoke to Corey Monteith. So heartbreaking. American Author's new one, Oh, What a Life. Okay, ready for this? It's called Missing in Action. Missing Persons. The 80s band.
Oh, my God.
New album.
Wow.
Yeah. Rufus Wainwright, live from the Artist's Den.
Yeah.
So, live album from him coming out. And then a bunch of soundtracks. The Grand Budapest Hotel soundtrack, which is André Desplat. And then Mr. Peabody and Sherman, which is Danny Elfman.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then Sherlock original TV soundtrack, music from the series.
Yes, great music. David Arnold, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
David Arnold and Michael Price for that one. So all you PBS fans can pick that up. Uh-huh. Books this week, Trouble in Mind, The Collected Stories, Volume 3 by Jeffrey Deaver.
Ooh.
And he grew up where I grew up.
He so did? Really?
Yeah, he's the Glen Allen, Chicago area writer. Yep. And then on the funny side, well, according to some people, You Gotta Be Killing Me by Chelsea Handler. Okay. For other people on the funny side, we'll see which one of these two you pick up. But the other one is You Can Date Boys When You're 40. Dave Barry on Parenting and Other Topics He Knows Very Little About.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So Dave Barry has a new book.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Nonfiction, Suspicious Nation, The Inside Story of the Trayvon Martin Injustice and Why We Continue to Repeat It by Lisa Bloom. And she's the legal analyst for NBC.
Okay.
Because it's 2 years.
Wow.
Since Trayvon was murdered. Yeah. I'll call it murder. There you go. I said it. Another one, Growing Up Duggar. It's all about relationships. It's like the three oldest Duggar girls have their own book. Life in Motion, An Unlikely Ballerina by Misty Copeland. And she worked with American Ballet Theater. And then Success Through Stillness, Meditation Made Simple by Mr. Russell Simmons.
Oh, good for him.
And he knows. I mean, he's a celebrity writing a book about it, but he knows his stuff on this.
He's been part of this movement for a long time.
Yeah. He's not just, put out a book. Yeah, he kind of, he knows his yoga meditations and stuff.
Yep.
All right. Broadway. Not actually Broadway. Theater. Off Broadway. Bayside the Musical is running. Has been running.
Yeah.
But March 27th, 28th, and 29th,
yeah,
Dustin Diamond will be guest appearing.
Get out.
Yep.
Jeez. Just more Saved by the Bell fodder, yeah, for the masses.
So you can visit BaysideTheMusical.com.
God, is it? Did we? I don't know if we talked about this before, but is it music from the show, like from the when they did their band type stuff? And
I don't know what songs are. They have to get permission,
yeah,
to use that. But it's the characters.
Yeah.
It's all those. Yeah.
One of my pet projects is developing a John Hughes show.
Yeah.
So. We'll see if that ever happens. All right. News. It's not so happy news, I guess. Autopsy results for Philip Seymour Hoffman shows that his body quit after he ingested a lethal speedball.
Yep.
Which is a mix of cocaine, heroin, and amphetamines.
Yes. And that's never killed a celebrity before. I don't know how it happens.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know.
Anyhow.
Paramount has bowed to special interest protests from religious groups who fear that people going to see Darren Aronofsky's Noah will accept it as historical fact. So to prevent this, the film will offer up a disclaimer saying that this is only inspired by true events.
Okay.
Really? Do we need to waste money on this, people? Unbelievable. Vincent D'Onofrio has been cast as the big bad guy in Colin Trevorrow's Jurassic World or Jurassic Park 4. Playing opposite Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard. Jeff Goldblum has said he is not coming back for this movie. However, he is coming back for Roland Emmerich's sequel to Independence Day. That should be fun. Comedy Central stalwarts Key and Peele will be chasing Billy Bob Thornton across Minnesota in FX's new original series Fargo, based on the Coen Brothers film. Adam McKay says that 2 is enough. There will not be an Anchorman 3. Thank God.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I really like 2, but yeah, we've got it now.
There's just no need. And then in totally unnecessary relationship news, Paula Patton has dumped her husband, Robin Thicke, while Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis got engaged last week.
Aww.
So, Jackie and Michael from That 70s Show.
Yep.
That's all I've got for entertainment news.
Okay. Well, you know how I mentioned that Kanye West is having, like, a movie written?
Jeez, yeah.
So, he's actually writing, or having it written. He's not writing it. I told you, it's American Psycho. Well, yeah. Right?
Yes.
Okay. He's making sure that Bret Easton Ellis, it's all about Kim. So he and West are working the script, but it's Kim is going to be, like, the lead. It's going to be, like, a full-length Bound 2, that video.
Oh, my God.
That made fun of. Yeah. Because she thinks, like, she's the new Marilyn Monroe kind of thing. Yeah, so this should be interesting.
Yeah, because she worked so well for Tyler Perry.
Mm-hmm. So, but anyhow, so that's good news for Kim, because she had a really shitty week. And honestly, not kidding.
Why?
She went to the Vienna Annual Opera Ball, which is this huge thing.
Okay.
She went, quote, I don't know, do you want to call it a guest or an escort?
Oh, but did she get paid for this?
Businessman. She got paid $500,000 to go with
this
him.
This is what Lindsay Lohan does to make money as she goes on dates.
So this isn't like, hey, we're having this, we're inviting, or somebody like, hey, I'm going to this, do you want to come as my guest?
No, it's arm candy.
Paying her
$500,000
to be there. Well, anyhow, she has said that this guy, this old Richard Lugner or something, this businessman who does this, he always pays somebody beautiful and famous. Anyhow, she has said that he was completely inappropriate and aggressive and whatever. He has said she reneged on the deal and it was a crappy date. But part of the reason she reneged, she ended up leaving, was some guy, some comedian was there, whatever, put on blackface.
What?
And he watched her and was like acting like he was Kanye.
Oh no!
And then later I saw the clip. It was an interviewer, and it was him and Kim was standing there, and actually Kris Jenner was there too. But they're standing there all nice, and she's asking if we're gonna dance. And then, this guy said, "Yeah, if they play N-word in Vienna, she'll dance."
Wow!
Like really inappropriate, and she had to stand there and like, I don't know. So anyhow, okay. She had a bad week. Yeah. Poor Kim.
Oh, poor her.
I feel too bad for her because she's going to star in a new movie, obviously.
Yeah. Yay. As things in the Ukraine fall apart and Venezuela and we're, yeah.
Yeah, let's worry about, yeah, somebody offending Kim, which was offensive. Like, what assholes, but anyhow.
All right, we have a contest this week.
We do. It's a kids one. It's from Shop Factory Kids.
All right.
Slugterra, Heroes of the Underground. So it's one of animated series.
Okay.
So we will have DVDs of that available for you to win for your kiddos.
All right, all right, all right. That'll do it for us this week. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening to us bitch about the Oscars. We will be back next week, but thank you for always reading our reviews at DVDverdict.com, for listening to our podcast at DVDverdictPresents.com, and for reading our news at DailyVerdict.com. But until then, Melissa, and take it away.
The tear in your eye. You're about to say something like goodbye.